You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. Don't look now, but the holidays are going to sneak up fast. But it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you cannot find anywhere else. The website is packed with high-quality, unique gifts that are often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. For example, you know those plastic baseball helmets that you can put ice cream in? They actually make those in ceramic, so they're not just cheesy plastic throwaways. They're a more permanent bowl. Ooh, who doesn't want baseball helmet ice cream? Nom, nom, nom. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. From moms and dads, history buffs, diehard football fans, or mixologists, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you will not find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/Zabe for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Well, folks, when you're right 52% of the time, you're wrong 48% of the time.
Why didn't you say that before?
Okay, Jimmy, you're off the hook. We got Miami, Cincinnati coming up. Any thoughts?
I certainly do, Brett. I hereby declare Miami to be Smooth Jimmy's lock of the week.
Every paper prints the damn betting line. You know, all anybody talks about is the point spread. Every local TV show prognosticator, every two-bit local columnist, I mean, even the average Joe man on the street, all they talk about is a damn point spread. And you know what? It sucks.
I'm telling you, go to the store, get a six-pack, get yourself a cigar and a roll of toilet paper, because when you see this game, you're going to
College game of the month, absolutely free.
Meet Stu Finer, nickname The Source.
Listen, listen, listen.
He promises, quote, to piss on your bookie's face.
We got a quarterback picking North Carolina State +4. You can't have that, you know.
I'll just call myself Mr. X. Yep, you can't go wrong with Mr. X.
Let's get ready to gamble.
It's the Mr. X intro supercut version by request. There are multiple versions floating around on my hard drives, but Mr. X himself said, you know, I really like the one with Stu Finer on it. Is it, Mr. X, that you are a Stu Finer closet fan yourself?
No, I just, every time I heard you with that intro, I wanted to comment on Stu, and I kept forgetting. So I just, that was reminding me. Is he before your time, or did you know him, who he was?
No, I listen. I knew of Stu Finer back in the 90s when the Sunday morning scamdicapper shows would be the province of cable television from coast to coast. I knew of him then, and I am now a huge fan of his on Barstool. The only real Barstool show I watch is the Barstool Sports Advisors with him and Big Cat and Stupid Jersey Jerry, who's a complete zilch. But Stu Finer is a lunatic. He's a maniac. He's hilarious. He seems to be pretty good at picking games, but, you know, it's hard to really get your arms around what his actual record is. So from an entertainment value standpoint, I'm a fan. What about you, though, with Stu Finer?
Well, okay, I'm humbled because I knew of his shows in the 80s and early 90s.
Right.
I didn't know he was on Barstool. I didn't know he still existed. He must be what?
You don't even know that he is one of Barstool's biggest personalities now?
I did not
Your
know.
Kids, X2, X3, X4, didn't clue you in that he has made a career resurrection?
I did not know.
Oh, sorry. Well then, okay. So I'm trying to think of who else were the guys on those shows. And
I get them. Yeah.
Here's
the thing.
I
get them mixed up with the guys on the Brandon Lang movie.
Two for the money.
$1 Million Man.
Right. Let's see. Uh-huh. Old TV scam decapper shows.
While you're looking that up, let me tell you why I know those guys, because some people don't get this. You know, back in those days, the NFL was at 1, so you had the pregame show at 12:30, okay? They hadn't even moved it to noon yet. So what did you do on a Sunday morning and you're flipping channels, trying to find anything related to sports and football? And the local cables in D.C. there, it was Home Team Sports. And an hour or so before the pregame show, they would have these handicapper shows on. And it wasn't like, oh, I want to watch this cheesy handicapper show. It was, what can I find that uses the word football this morning? And that was all that there was.
Right.
And maybe in 20 minutes of scammy stuff, you might find a minute or two of football info. You just were so desperate for it, you'd sit through those shows.
There's one show that still exists on radio that is the same concept, where there is very little nutritional value to what they're saying,
yeah,
but they keep repeating, hey, I've got a game today. If it doesn't hit, I'll give you my 4 o'clock lock absolutely free. It's on a recorded message, on a recorded message, on a recorded message. So it lowers the fear of somebody going, oh, I don't want to get hooked into a guy who's going to give me a high-pressure sales pitch. But what they do is they get your number. They capture your phone number. And then I've had guys who have called these types of shops up and said, I had to change my phone number. They wouldn't stop calling me. I couldn't block them. They would come from other spoofed numbers. They were relentless. And I'm like, that's their business model.
Well, and even worse than that, okay, let's do the premium Zabe cast. All right.
Oh, boy.
You pay for this week, and if I'm wrong, you get the rest of the year for free. Well, you paid the yearly fee.
You're already in. Yeah.
You're in. So, and if you get it right, hey, then they got to pay again. If you get it wrong, there's your yearly fee. It's not that hard.
So one of the popular tricks of this, would that, let's say they give out a game, right? If they get 1,000 calls, I need to know your Denver-San Francisco game. Okay. 1,000 callers, you give 500 Denver, you give 500 to San Francisco. Well, half of your fan base is going to be super happy because you gave them a winner when they needed it the most. Therefore, the next week, the 500 people who lost, you know, maybe 2/3 of them say, well, fuck this guy. He said this was a lock. It lost. I'm down a couple grand. But the 500 that won, they're back in again. Sure. And then it goes down to 250 if you're going 50-50s. You still, you know, you can run it out to a number of guys. And for the small number of guys that make it down to your last 20 dudes, right, as you keep cutting your number in half, you're God. You're God, because guess what? You've just won 7 in a row in their eyes, in their thing. Yeah. So they'll pay you whatever for the next winner.
Yep. You got 125 guys that went 3-0. Okay. Winner. And this is before your time. They changed. That used to be what stockbrokers would do. And they outlawed it. Oh, yeah. Back in the 80s.
Just
you know,
give out both
I think
sides.
It was 70s. You call up and I say, you know, Microsoft is going up. Or whatever.
Sell, and buy, buy, sell, sell, buy. Just give out both sides. So, yeah, so it was a stockbroker thing back in the day.
Yeah, they do the same thing. They you know, 50% go up, 50% go down or whatever. And then after three picks, one out of every eight went 3-0. and you're calling them up saying, look, I just gave you three winners in a row, and you're trying to get their account. And the SEC finally kind of said, yeah, this isn't right. but nobody said it in football, so let's go. You know what? It's funny you say that, because it makes me think – I don't watch today's shows, but I read everything, okay? I'm not going to go through the guys. I subscribe and read everything. I've always said my picking – when we used to talk about how to do it, I say it's a combination of math, it's a combination of sports. And now I don't have to do my own research. It's all out there. I read all the guys. And the one thing that gets me is, without getting into names, you can't look up their last week's stuff. You can only look up what they say this week. If you want to track them, you're doing it on your own. They don't keep that. Now, I will say.
Also, I'm not Stu Feiner on Barstool has a couple different silos. He's got his Barstool special, which is like a Thursday deal. Then he's got his on the show picks for the Barstool Sports Advisors. And then he has his paywalled picks where it's like, you pay me for my pay picks.
Yeah. And I don't follow their show, but so what? You're giving me your fifth best pick? I mean, I don't get that.
Well, that's the thing. So the more he's not the only one that does this. A lot of guys tout their Sunday night football record or their Monday night record or their Thursday night. And if they get on a bit of a roll on one of those days, they say they of course, you know, fluff that up. They pump that up. Yeah. A Mr. Thursday night. Well, these are all just silos that don't have any distinction, because your money is your money. Your money's the same as it is Thursday, as it is Sunday, as it is Monday. You're either winning it or you're losing it. So your money doesn't care what day somebody picks a game.
Sure. And you know what? Let's spin this off into something. You know, when you go 1-4 in a category, you just throw out that category, because it's going to take you all year to get even. But I will say this, and this is what's different about me, you know, as you've always said here, I'm just a guy. I share my homework. If you want to read it, you read it. Do what you want. I never promote or say anything. But when you're a member on my site, you can look back and see every week's document. There's no, like, hiding. You can look right now. What is this? Week 7 in the NFL. The bottom of the page. You can click on week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. There's no like hiding the past, even when there's ones that I sure as hell would like to hide.
Right.
But you don't do that. I don't find that in these places. And to me, that's just not a good feel. If I can't look up and say, I think Zabin sucked last week. Oh, it's no longer on his site. I don't like that.
Right. Jack Price was the other name on that show, the Sports Advisors. Jack Price. Stu Feiner, Jack Price. Stu was known as the source, the flamboyant handicapper who delivered high-energy picks for the NFL, the NBA, and other sports. I got to find
a six-figure accounting job.
So the sound bites that you hear there are from the HBO Real Sports documentary on these scamdicappers and these shows. And how they would take some poor gambling addicted suckers for a complete ride. And that was so far back. I've not seen a link to it on YouTube. Yeah. I know I own a VHS tape in a box that is labeled that I used to have in my office at work at Team 980 in Rockville, Maryland, 1801 Rockville Pike. It's somewhere here in this basement right now. I don't have the energy to go get it. I should, though. I should unearth that segment. It was amazing and fascinating and wild. But there is a radio show that still exists that does basically the same thing. I heard it on Sunday morning on I believe it was on JFK here in D.C. I've heard it on in Philly on WIP as well. And it's just so funny to think that these things still work to a certain extent. Buyer beware. Buyer beware. That's all I can say.
This is kind of, I'm going to spin this into this week's lesson. This was not planned, but we talk about units, okay? And what I have taught is I call 1 unit, 2 units, and 3 units. Now, what that means, Abe, is if I say it's a one-unit play, I don't care what your unit is, whatever your unit is. Do you bet $20? Do you bet $100? Do you bet $1,000? Whatever.
Unit betting is referring to what a gambler is comfortable betting. Depending on your personal wealth, experience in betting,
exactly.
Your unit might be $10. It might be $100. Might be $1,000.
Exactly. Yeah. And what's important to you is important to you. Doesn't matter to me. But then, you know, the key is everything's not the same. So then I will do what I call two stars or two units, which means I went double. Whatever I bet double on this one.
Oh.
And I almost always am one unit or two units. There is occasionally the three star. But that takes a lot of criteria. And a three star, I'm going up, you know, probably 5 units, maybe 10 units, okay? But that takes two things. It takes me absolutely loving that game, and it takes me having somebody else's money to push the chips in the middle. I won't do a three star unless we're on a little bit of a hot streak where you can push your chips in the middle. You never go big when you're reaching in your pocket. You go big when you're using the house's money, so to speak.
All right.
Okay, last week I almost had my first three-star of the year. I wrote up the Patriots. It was going to crush the Titans. But we had had a very bad Saturday. And I said, I'm sorry, after a bad Saturday, I don't shove the chips in the middle of the table. So we keep it at two.
Because then you feel like you're chasing, right? Is that why?
Well, yeah. If you're going big after a loss, now you're reaching in your wallet, as I call it. And I don't do that. I go big after a win. I don't go big just because I won. I also have to love that game. But it has to be the stars lining up. I love the Patriots, and we're on a win streak. Now it's the end of the night at blackjack table. Shove your chips in the middle because you know what? You gave me the chips, and I'm going to let them ride. But I don't go big if you're going to reach in your wallet and get yourself in trouble. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You also should never, as a gambler, need a game that badly. If you're in a position where you're like, I really need this game, you're not approaching the whole endeavor with the proper headspace.
100% right. There's nothing more fun, like you standing on the bar in Las Vegas, there's nothing more fun than making a bet that, as you say, is a little bit uncomfortable.
A little bit uncomfortable that comes home,
but
exactly.
It's a whole lot better when it's the chips that they just gave me and I'm putting them back on the table. That's a different level. The fun of the big bet, but if you lose, you're giving back your winnings. That's okay.
One year, Nick Stauskas missed a free throw for Michigan. He should have never missed. It cost me $1,000. The next year, with Gonzaga laying 5.5, Steve Alford at UCLA inexplicably pulled his own starters.
We quit.
Pulled his own starters with like 48 seconds left in the game and an absurdly large amount of time. And I couldn't believe my luck. And I said, the Lord's giveth and they taketh. Yeah. It's one of those things.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sportsbook that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
So I got to start today with a bit of a rant, and then I will turn it over to you. Plus, I got some other audio I want to play. Apparently, Troy Vincent, the NFL's VP of game operations, has lent life to the dumbest fucking idea ever that sadly has a lot of support from football people and media members who should know better. See, I used to think that I could tell if you were dumb or smart based on whether you complained that the first down chains were made out of metal and chain. And a $1 billion league and they're using two old men and two sticks and a chain. I would say, but you don't understand, it's a simple device, but it's always accurate. And it works in all weather conditions. And it's not complicated. It doesn't mean it's inaccurate. It's perfectly accurate. It's just low tech. We should have lasers. We should have chips. I'm like, okay, you're too dumb to understand how dumb you are. That has been taken away because they got rid of the chain gang this year. And by the way, have you noticed? They're not even really measuring digitally anymore on first downs, are they? They're basically just letting the referees on the field go, yeah, first down. Or New York in their ear say, yeah, first down. But that's a whole side rant altogether about New York's interference and how these games are being officiated. But here's the new intelligence test for those of you who like football. If you think replacing the onside kick with a fake 4th and 15 at your own 25, then I don't want to talk to you. You're too fucking dumb and you're too clueless to understand that's the worst idea ever. Like, oh, but, you know, it's because they're not recovering onside kicks enough. Well, yeah, they jacked up the rules of onside kicks, so they don't work anymore. Furthermore, where does it say in the rules that every ounce of every game and every second has to be artificially pumped up with excitement? If you're trailing in a game and you score late, guess what? You're not entitled to a fair shot at getting the ball back. Fuck you. Play better in the first 58 minutes of the game. It's just maddening to me that too many people have said, oh, I like this. Good. Finally. Clap, clap, clap emoji for Troy Vincent. This is the dumbest thing ever. And by the way, in college, they have the regular onside rules, just like they got the regular kickoff rules. And they're kids. They don't care. It's purely an NFL thing. I told you I'd go on a rant. I'm going on a rant. One more thing. So the St. Louis Battlehawks of the XFL did convert one of those plays because they have that rule. Week one of the 2023 season sparked a wild comeback over the DC Defenders, 18-15. Yeah. They were down 15-6 late in the fourth. The Battlehawks scored a touchdown to make it 15-12 via a three-point conversion from the 10-yard line, which was another XFL twist. Dumbest thing ever. You want the NFL to be the XFL? Here's my favorite soundbite from the old cartoon, the PJs.
That guy's running backwards. Hey, this is arena football. Didn't you ever hear of a four-point conversion?
Oh, arena football sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Four-point conversion, three-point conversion, fake onsides, 4th and 15. They converted the 4th and 15, and A.J. McCarron threw a 22-yard pass to Jacob Rodriguez, converting it and retaining possession. A few plays later, McCarron hit Prohl for a 14-yard TD with 6 seconds left to win the game. Is this really what you want in the NFL, you dipshits? Stop it with this already. And if you want to bring back the old onside kick rules, I'd be all for it. Otherwise, no. We're not doing this hokey baloney nonsense play to make up for the fact nobody can recover an onside kick. Serenity now. Rant.
Yeah, I think maybe when you do the conversion, you put it on the 10 or whatever, you should just spin the wheel and see how many points it's worth.
Yeah. Like, whatever happened to the logic and the flow of the game, for God's sakes? And why is there this justification of, well, they just scored to make it close? Shouldn't they be allowed to have a play that maybe gives them the ball? No! You're not entitled
like NBA.
To shit.
Why don't we have a 4 or 5 point shot in the NBA to give you a chance when you're way down? How about you don't get way down?
Yeah. Well, the NBA on a timeout at the end of the game allows you to inbound it 22 feet closer to the hoop. Actually, not 22 feet. How long is a basketball court?
90 minus quarter.
So 45. 20,
so you go up 75 feet.
Right. There's no reason that you should be allowed to inbound on the front court. The NBA did it simply for entertainment purposes only. But that's a trash league that I don't give a shit about. I still give a shit about the NFL. I'd still like it to look like proper American football, and they've already bastardized it to the point where it's almost unrecognizable. But I digress.
Okay, but let me ask you, when the NFL, maybe I missed something, when the NFL declares we're going onside, and they have to declare it prior to the kick, and they line up, once they do that, there's no rule that's different this year than previous, is there? I mean, an onside's an onside, other than you have to declare.
No, not this year. I don't believe they did anything further year. But the number of teams actually converting onside kicks basically has dwindled to almost nothing.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's because of just the I'll bet the end of game kicks are about the same, but what you've done is you removed the mid-game surprises, which had a higher success rate.
Not just mid-game surprises, like total kamikaze attacks. I mean, Sean Payton calling one for the Saints in the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Against the Colts, and Peyton Manning was one of the all-timers.
Yeah. I think when it comes end of game and you're doing it, I bet the same 10% is about the same. It's just you've removed those surprise ones that have a higher success, and you're only doing the end of game when everybody's lined up expecting it. By the way, I have an onside kick beef. It's not going to nearly be as good as your rant, but I have a beef on the onside kicks.
Do tell.
And the point is this. You're a special teams coach. This is almost a what are you doing? You're a special teams coach. It's your job to spend the whole week, for bazillion hours, for the special teams plays. And in the old days, where they could line up all on one side of the field, all the offense and all the defense, they were going to the right.
Yep.
And then they decided to take that away and require a balanced formation, five on each side or whatever the number is. You have to keep it even. So everybody is spread on both sides, even though you can only kick it to one side. I watched somebody this weekend. I can't think of who. And you always see this. I think it was where the kicker runs up. I'm going to kick it right. Oh no. I'm going to switch. And
loops
kick it
around.
Left.
Yeah.
Who cares? What does that do for you other than make you screw up your kick while you're trying to fake it? I get it when the guys were on one side and you faked it. But they're dead. It's almost as if you think the five guys on the left are taking a nap. So you're trying to fake right and go left. And they're like, whatever, just kick the ball, dude. Just kick it.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest play ever. The kicker should have a good onside thing that gets a bounce. He's been practicing it all week. But don't run up to the ball and then switch sides.
All right. Are you ready for What Are You Doing? Our weekly look back at guys in the NFL. And we scream in wonderment that Mike Shanahan Sr. once said, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? My first what are you doing goes to Woody Johnson of the Jets. Woody Johnson, owner of the Jets, a silver spoon boy, if ever there was one, heir to the Johnson & Johnson baby formula fortune. Easily one of the worst owners in the NFL, if not the worst, post Dan Snyder. As bad as Snyder, just not as malicious as Snyder was. Clearly doesn't get the dynamics of how it is, you know, how should you be actually running a team? Woody Johnson was asked, do you have still confidence in Aaron Glenn? At some, I don't know what the occasion was, but a reporter got in front of him, and all he had to do was say yes. You know, it's early, it's painful, we've lost some close games, but we hired him for a reason, and we are fully behind him. That's all you have to say. Instead, he decided to take a shot at Justin Fields, their starting quarterback, at least until this Sunday. Here was Woody Johnson.
What's your confidence level in Aaron to turn it around?
Well, it looks like he's turning around parts of it. You know, it's hard when you have a quarterback with, you know, with a rating that we've got, you know. I mean, he has the ability, but something just is not jiving.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? How is this helpful?
What are you doing?
Even if you know you're never going to start Justin Fields again and never going to get into the Justin Fields business after this year and ever again, other players hear this. It's a stain on your organization, you dummy. You billionaire dunce, okay? Don't blame Justin Fields for not being adequate as a QB1. Many of us, Woody, had watched him in Pittsburgh and in Chicago, and we had come to that conclusion a long time ago. You hired a coach and have a GM that didn't understand that conclusion. He's not a QB1. Be mad at them. Don't be mad at Justin Fields. Idiot. What are you doing, Woody Johnson?
What are you doing?
Of course, that leads me to a follow-up on this, which is Aaron Glenn. So Aaron Glenn was asked today, Sue, who's starting this Sunday for you guys at quarterback? And Aaron Glenn, the cagey coach that he is, did the following.
Who's your quarterback,
AG? We will have a quarterback on Sunday. I will tell you that.
You're not going to announce? I wouldn't want to give them a competitive advantage when I have that opportunity. But
a competitive advantage for the Bengals? Have you seen your record? They enter the game with a massive competitive advantage called you suck. Oh, Tyrod Taylor versus Justin Fields. They're so different as quarterbacks. Justin Fields is just the next Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor, nice guy, works hard, was destined to be a QB2 or QB3 many years ago. They're the same guy.
What are you doing?
With competitive advantage.
The competitive advantage you gave him was when you signed Justin Fields.
Yes. I love it when coaches think they're being cagey. Yeah, no, we don't want to give him an edge. See, I'm grinding for every edge, even though we're 0-7. You suck. Okay, those are my two what are you doings. You got one to nominate?
I was going to do the onside kick. We already did.
Have you heard the Sean Payton, Russell Wilson?
Oh, I was going to say that. That's not a whole lot different. I have that in my notes for last week. Really?
Okay. I mean, so here we go.
To do that?
Yeah. Here we go. Sean Payton said on Tuesday that he was happy that he was hoping to face Russell Wilson of the Giants, not Jackson Dart. Here was Sean Payton.
I have a ton of respect for that organization. I spent 4 of my early years there coordinating Super Bowl. First game in this stadium before 9/11, close with the Mayor Tisch family, and you know they found a little spark with that quarterback. I was talking to John Mayer not too long ago, and I said we were hoping that change would have happened long after our game.
Okay, so implying that, yeah. I wish we could have played Russell Wilson, A, to beat him since we ended on bad terms here in Denver, but B, because he sucks. So Russell Wilson responded by saying, classless, but not surprised. Didn't realize you're still bounty hunting 15-plus years later through the media. Sunglasses, smiling emoji, laughing, crying emoji, hashtag let's ride, and then sideways laughing, crying emoji.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson.
Well, you know, I'm no Russell Wilson fan. He was terrible in Denver, but I don't know if I've ever seen anything that makes me think he's not an okay guy. He's not, you know, he's not
a cornball. He is just relentlessly inauthentic.
Okay. I still don't see any reason for Peyton to be such a
because Peyton's like a dick.
Peyton.
Sean Payton is exactly a flat-out dick.
Yeah, well, I thought Wilson's Bounty Gate reference was a good one. I was like, good. But, you know, he still is the same guy. He may have only served a 1-year suspension, but he came back the same guy he left as.
Yeah. Meanwhile, did you notice, I'm sure you probably did, the beating the Raiders and Pete Carroll took at the hands of the Chiefs is one of the most statistically dominant beatdowns in many years in the NFL in a lot of categories. One category, and I did see this happen in real time, the Chiefs started taking knees, victory formation at 2:38 in the fourth quarter, 38 seconds on the north side of the 2-minute warning. And the Raiders were just fine with it. They're like, yeah, okay, yeah. I'm glad you're doing this. We don't really want to play football anymore either. Here were the pardon my take, boys, with the breakdown of just how much of a beating this was.
The Raiders are so bad. That was one of the worst games, I think, that's ever been played. The Raiders, just to put it into perspective here, the Chiefs had 434 yards. The Raiders had 95. The Chiefs ran 77 plays. The Raiders ran 30. 30 is an important number because the Chiefs had 30 first downs. The Raiders had three. Three first downs. The Chiefs had 21 first downs in the first half. That was as big of a beatdown as you could possibly have. The Raiders are just dog shit. And fun fact, that was actually Andy Reid's first regular season shutout.
Wow.
Yeah. what's the only thing amazing about that game is, I mean, it was like watching a high school game where it's just, you know, completely unfair matchup, but they only scored 31.
Well, they probably,
I mean, you look at the
scored.
Stat line and it looked like a,
should have been like a 55-0 kind of a game.
Well, if you looked at the numbers, yeah. I mean, yeah. It was just too easy. They didn't even have to try to score. It was like they went four corners on them. Yeah. But yeah, that was quite a beatdown for sure.
Well, the Raiders are in a really, really bad spot because Geno Smith ain't that. And they got Kenny Pickett, another failed idea behind him. They're going to have to start over at quarterback. Their coach, rah-rah guy. I mean, Pete Carroll rah-rahed himself right back into the league at an age that you shouldn't be hiring guys this old, whether he's young and fit and has energy or not. At some point, you expire as a coach. Don't hire guys who are expired.
Well, if you have a turnaround project, I mean, Carroll seems like the guy who comes in on a team that's a step away. When they hired him last year, I said to you on the we talked on phone, when I was like, okay, if you've got to take a 3 to 4 year turnaround window, do you want the oldest coach in the league?
No.
I mean, do the math. I could see him coming in to, you know, a George Seifert situation where you come in and take over a good team, but that's a step away, and I think that coach will get us over the hump. Great. You don't who can do a turnaround project at, what is he, 74, 75? That just doesn't make any sense. By the time they turn around, he's definitely going to be done.
All right, let's recap last week. First of all, let's talk baseball World Series, Blue Jays and Dodgers. What is the current series price?
Oh, Dodgers are about minus 250.
Is that the right price in your opinion?
Yeah, because they're going to win. but that's okay. High enough that I'm not laying 250. If you made me bet it, like let's say if I was a real gambler and I had to gamble, I guess you have to take the underdog, but I can't feel good about it because the Dodgers are going to win. I mean, there's nothing they're not doing right now. The only weakness they have is their bullpen, and they aren't having to use their relievers. So, I mean, I commented this week on like, you know, the only time a guy can throw 6 shutout innings and hit 3 homers is when he's 12 years old and dominating Little League.
Right.
You're not supposed to be able to do that. And there's so many people looking to cut on Ohtani and, you know, and the whole gambling thing. And, you know, everyone wants to chip him down, especially your buddy in Houston. But the guy is absolutely unbelievable what he's doing. There's never been a player like that. You can talk about Babe Ruth, but no. Nobody's like that. And if he grew up in the United States, he'd be probably playing football, maybe basketball. He wouldn't be a baseball player because our best athletes don't play baseball anymore.
Yeah.
But in Japan, they do.
Yeah.
He's a freak.
I said it before, I'll say it again. I got nothing against Ohtani conceptually. I always love looking at greatness, something that is awe-inspiring and has never been done before in my lifetime, and that's the case here. What makes me uneasy is the way that the entire sport, the league itself, has bent itself in directions that compromise their integrity on Ohtani. That makes me uncomfortable because if they're willing to not even investigate, well, are you sure? You say you had no idea your interpreter was doing this. Where's your cell phone? Where's your laptop? You know, we're going to interview a bunch of people. They wrapped this thing up in like 2 weeks, basically. So they never really looked into it because they didn't want to find out the truth because the truth would have been bad for business. And that's troubling to me. It's nothing personal against Ohtani. It's a league thing. And by the way, where do you stand? I was about to ask you, where do you stand on the whole Ohtani rule regarding being able to pitch and then stay in the game as a DH? Because they had to put that in 2022.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could make the case of why do you change a rule for one guy? And I get that. But on the other hand, I look at it as the game is changing, and will there be more coming like him? Not as good, but the same situation. And I don't think there will be a change like that.
Do you think we'll see another Ohtani in our lifetime?
Well, not to that magnitude, but will we see another guy who might DH and pitch? Yes.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Prior to Ohtani, who did it?
Babe Ruth.
That's my point.
In 15 years, I'm going to get back to you and say I told you so.
No further questions, Your Honor. Okay, so your pick is the Dodgers, but you don't want to bet them because it's just too high.
I wouldn't lay that number. But you might as well just bet him to be MVP instead of betting the Dodgers. No, that he may not get it because he may not even get a chance to pitch. They might be over too quickly.
All right, here we go. Favorites and home. Favorites, okay. Road dogs, overs, unders. Let's recap last week in the NFL.
Sure. Last week in the NFL, the favorites finally had a really good week. They went 10-5, which puts them up to 54% on the year. Against the spread, that is. They're 70% straight up, but 54% against the spread. The home teams had a good week. They went 9-6, but they're at 51% on the year. And the overs had a good week as well. They went 9-6, and the overs are now slightly above 500. So whenever the favorites win and all that, that means, you know, I didn't do well. Actually, I did do okay, come to think of it. It was Saturday that we were terrible, but Sunday was okay.
I think there's four teams that are in what I call the famous basket of deplorables in the NFL, the truly bad teams that no matter how weak their opponent may be on a given week, they're still going to prove, oh, no, we're the truly bad teams. We're disgustingly bad. And those four teams are the Jets, the Dolphins, the Saints, and the Titans. That's your four teams in the basket of deplorables. Am I not including a team that deserves to be there?
I don't think myself that I could say the Saints are that much worse than the Browns. I put them more comparable. The Browns have an excellent defense, but their offense is terrible. The Saints, I mean, of all the bad teams, are the one that they keep losing, but they don't suck as much as the others.
Right.
They keep covering. I think their spread number is decent this year because they don't suck as much as we all thought they were going to.
Right. Well, the Browns and the Panthers sort of had designs on being in that basket of deplorables. But maybe they're getting some traction. We'll see. Because it was the Browns who played the Dolphins in bad weather. Dolphins proving that they are indeed a warm weather, soft team. And the Panthers are kind of playing hard right now. They're 4-3, the Panthers are, which is one of the small surprises so far this season.
And now they get Andy Dalton, so hey.
Hey now. Right, so you got that. Okay, on the website for yourself, callmemrx.com. What's going on there?
Oh, well, you know, I never know if I should say my results on that because when you win, it sounds like what good is it? But if I don't say anything, then everybody goes, oh, he must be hiding something. So I can't win on this one. But I had a good NFL week hitting the top plays, but it was an average week and it was a terrible week in the NCAA.
Okay.
Terrible week. I went to sleep with Mississippi. Catching 7, up 9 late in the fourth, right? Think about that, up 9 with catching 7 points. And I woke up as Georgia was tacking on the field goal to cover. I don't know how that happened. That was a miserable beat last week.
Oh, I have to bring this up to you because I got into it with some people on Twitter. Did you see the field goal that was kicked against Indiana?
Yes. I didn't have a problem with it.
How can you not have a problem with it? You're down.
What did you want them to do on that fourth down play?
Fourth and 12, go for it. You're down 28 points.
Okay.
There's under a minute to go. Under a minute to go. You're down 28. Why on earth would you kick a field goal on fourth and 12? Could be a fourth and a trillion. Go for
it. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Are you saying the dog kicked the field goal? The loser kicked it?
Yes. You didn't see this?
Oh, I'm mixing up games. I was thinking, because there's been a couple of games this week where they kicked a field goal meaningless to cover the number. You're saying the loser covered the number.
Here. Then
you're correct.
Okay.
Then you're correct.
All right. So this game was, okay, here it is. 38-10, Indiana over Michigan State. They're up 28 points. There's 38 seconds to go. Michigan State has a fourth and 12.
and they decide to kick a field goal to push the spread to 25 when it was 26 and a half to start the game. It turned a cover into a loss, and it changed the over, which was 49 and a half. So there it's 38 to 10. Your total is at 48, so it's under. The field goal both pushes it over, and it covers the 26 and a half. Here's how it sounded on television.
Those are the highlights. Babe Laufenberg played for Corso in the early 80s, another highlight of the program, but not many. I'll tell you what, Cignetti's been incredible. Good job here by Michigan State going down and getting some points at the end of this game.
Good job. Fuck that. Michigan State's head coach is a guy by the name of Jonathan Smith, and he's pretty much going nowhere fast there. I said, absolutely, this has to be investigated because it makes no strategic sense. Some people were trying to say to me, well, you know, you get at least you get a field goal rep, live rep in the rain, maybe in a future game in the rain, that this kid, this kicker will feel. I'm like, get the fuck out of here with that nonsense.
Hey, Zabe, let me ask you something. We got NIL money rolling in from wherever, all places. We got head coaches that have to have these booster events, and the boosters are paying the salaries, and we got payroll on college teams.
Right.
So how is it
I know what you're
that
saying.
Far away to say, hey, a lot of these big giant donor boosters bet on our team.
Yes.
And I'd rather they win than lose.
Yes.
Is that wrong?
Yes. Yes. Really? Okay. Is it wrong?
Yes. While we're scrolling the live odds on the bottom of the screen while our sponsor is whatever book.
Is it wrong? It's absolutely wrong. But put that aside for a second. I agree. It's highly plausible that this was the motivation. That, hey, we got our asses handed to us by Indiana. Sorry about that. But you know what? At least we covered. Because there might be, you know, if you're a true blue Michigan State booster, you're probably not going to bet blood money against your team. And therefore, you're going to want to do what you can do to help keep the people that are feeding you, that are paying you, happy. And so accepting that that is a very plausible answer, yes, it's wrong. It's 1,000,000% wrong. These coaches should not have any clue about what the point spread is, and they should never, even in a hopeless game, make any maneuvers that are solely designed to tickle the point spread, because that is letting the devil himself walk into your house and sit on your couch and crack open a beer. You can't have it if you want integrity in sports.
That devil is now your partner. He's not a devil anymore. He's your partner.
He's your landlord, basically. The devil's like, knock, knock, where's my money? Got my
money. I'm gonna try to tell you a story that I can't remember who it was, so this is gonna be weak. Approximately 2 weeks ago, I'm watching college football at 1 a.m, whatever the last game of the night was. I'm scrolling and I can't find it. And it's a mismatch game. I swear I want to say Oklahoma, but they wouldn't have been on that late. But somebody was up and they were up like 25, laying 28. Okay.
Okay.
So the game's over. We got 3 minutes to go. And the underdog has the ball down 25. And whoever the late night West Coast After Dark analyst was, he actually slipped up. I wished I'd saved this for you. He said, oh, they're going to have to start using their timeouts here on defense, because he's thinking they need to stop them and get it back to cover the 28. But why do you use your timeouts on defense with a 25-point lead? Okay? Think about that. He's saying the team up 25 needs to call timeouts so they have time to get the ball back.
Well, maybe he's just thinking, just keep trying hard to score as many points.
Oh, because he knows they need to cover.
Oh.
And he goes, they're going to have to use their timeouts here before the 2 minute. He said they're going to have to use them before the 2 minute warning. Because, you know, in his head, he's thinking, got to use your timeouts before the 2 minute warning.
He's
you get the
grinding
ball back.
Away.
You can cover. And then all of a sudden, whoever was the play-by-play guy kind of delicately said, well, they are up 25. It wouldn't be pivoted, and he realized, oh, shit, I was thinking about the spread, not the game. I swear that happened. The guy goes, well, you know, they don't have to use their timeouts. They're up 25. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I wish I knew who that was. I'm gonna have to.
We'll find it. Somebody will email me. Yeah. But yeah.
But it took him a minute to realize.
Oh yeah.
I'm thinking about, are they gonna cover? And you know what? I'm sorry. That's today. You know. I wished he just stuck with it and said, "Oh, I was thinking about the cover for the alumni." Yeah. But
yeah. All right, let's pick Thursday night's game and call it a wrap for this week. Right. Who do we got? What's the number?
Chargers are hosting Minnesota Vikings. They're laying 3 with a total of 44.5. And Zabe, I decided I need to look up our season record because I have not tracked it. But one of you guys is going to have to send it to me.
That'll be a job for next week.
Okay. I think you're 4-3 and I'm 5-2, but I might be off by one. This week.
I'm taking the Chargers. Despite the fact they seemingly are morphing back into the same old fucking Chargers that have a ton of talent and just don't win games, which has plagued this franchise ever since they moved to L.A., basically. I'm taking them because the notion that J.J. McCarthy is still nursing a sore ankle that he played almost a full quarter on that nobody knew was an injury and turned into a 7-week ankle is amazing. And Kevin McCarthy doing his best to spin it. Kevin McCarthy, the coach of the Vikings. Kevin O'Connell said, he goes, well, you know, it's the unexpected movements that are a problem still for JJ. I'm like, unexpected? They're all unexpected. What the fuck are you talking about? Quarterback in the NFL is the most run for your fucking life position in all of sports. His unexpected movements. What quarterback goes back like, all right, I got a plan here. 3 steps back, one step to the right, and as long as I do that, I'll be fine. Ooh, no, I've got to move this way. Ouchie, my ankle hurts. Get the fuck out of here. They know he sucks. They're afraid of breaking him for good if he has to go back in, and they're trying to figure out how many more weeks of Carson Wentz can we possibly stomach? And the answer is getting to be maybe one more. Chargers. Legal limit.
Zabe, the part I disagree with is the real reason that the Vikings head coach says those things is because he doesn't want to give his opponent a competitive advantage.
Oh, right, exactly. Do we prepare for the rookie? Do we prepare for the second-year player they're afraid to play because he sucks and the team revolted against him, including Justin Jefferson? Or do we play the washed-ass pick-throwing Carson Wentz? Gee, we need to put 2 game plans together, one for sucky quarterback A and an even worse one for sucky quarterback B. We don't have time to do it.
Same problem the Jets have. Is it Fields or is it Tyrod? I also will take the Chargers. Don't like laying it. I'll lay the 3 because you can't play in this league without a quarterback, and the Vikings are a really good team without a quarterback.
All right, call me MrX.com if you want more information from Mr. X, and of course on Twitter at @JustCallMeMrX. Thank you. We'll talk next week. Let happy hour begin.
Deal. Thanks. See ya.
You know football and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.